Hello again. Well, one day this boy comes up to his father and he asks him, "Dad, how do wars begin?" Well, his father said, "Let's take the First World War as an example. It got started when Germany invaded Belgium." Immediately, the boy's mother interrupted, "Honey, tell the boy the truth. It began because someone was assassinated." Well, the husband drew himself up in an air of superiority and snapped back, "Are you answering the question or am I?" Turning her back on him in a huff, the wife walked out of the room and slammed the door as hard as she could. Well, when the dishes stopped rattling in the cupboard, an uneasy silence filled the room. The boy broke the silence and said to his dad, "Daddy, you don't have to answer my question anymore. I know how wars begin." But really, why is it that we all just can't get along? Sadly, it's a question as old as Cain and Abel. Just look all around. Our world is full of conflict. And we don't even have to look outside of our own borders to see it, right? And that's because inside our own country, there's just so much division and conflict over everything like COVID. And, you know, do you wear a mask, not get a mask, vaccine, not get a mask, race, religion, politics, it's a mess, you know? And of course, it's not just state to state or country versus country or county versus county or city versus, many of our own homes and families are full of conflict. There's conflict in marriages, conflicts between parents and children, conflicts between siblings and relatives, and on and on and on it goes. And of course, sadly, there's even conflict in the Lord's church. And sometimes those conflicts in the church are pretty valid, especially when there's serious doctrinal issues at stake. Sadly, far too many conflicts in the church are about personalities or petty matters and pride. On the other hand, God knows that most conflict is unnecessary and avoidable. And so he's given us, through James, words of encouragement that can really help us to understand how fights get started and how they can stop. Now, our main text for today comes from James chapter 4. So let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 6 from James chapter 4. There James writes, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend when you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely? But he gives us more grace. That is what scripture says. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Now, back in chapter 3, James was giving us all kinds of warnings about how dangerous our speech can be. And he builds up to a crescendo here in chapter 4, beginning with the rhetorical question, "What is the source of wars and fights among you?" Well, one of the first things that we have to ask ourselves is, who is the among you that James is talking about here in verse 1? Well, it's pretty clear from the context that James is talking about us Christians. And what did he say was going on between these Christians? He says fights and quarrels. Now, the word translated fights in the NIV is a general term for an entire war, which is why some translations might say wars. And the word translated in the NIV as quarrels is talking about those little smaller individual battles, you know, squabbles. Kind of think of James here like a parent stepping maybe into the middle of a squabble between their children and saying, "Okay, now who started it?" Now, before James starts pointing any fingers at anybody, James points his finger at the causes of conflict. And so here in these six verses, we're going to see how conflicts develop and where they come from with a look at three different kinds of battles. And the first battle that causes conflict is the war within. Again, looking back at verse 1, James rhetorically asks, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you?" There it is, right? James starts with the true source of all conflict. It's you and me. Think about it. Why are we so unhappy? Why do we fight with others? Why do we keep getting in trouble? The answer is not out there. It's in here, inside, in our heart, where the real decisions of life are made. Simply put, you know, we're messed up on the outside because we're messed up on the inside. Now, the word translated here as passions or pleasures or desires, depending upon your translation, comes from the same Greek word that we get our English word hedonism from. And hedonism is the pursuit of pleasure at all costs. In other words, we want what we want when we want it, and we won't be happy until we get what we want. The point is, it's those passions or desires that are at war within us, making us discontented and self-centered. I don't know, it might be the desire for more money or a new house or a new car or maybe even a new spouse or and all that just ends up, maybe we're reaching for some kind of power that someone has that is somehow just outside of our reach. It just all makes us angry, you know, with ourselves, and we become hostile and ruthless to get those things that we want. And so we fight to get those things. Just look at what James says that our passions and desires do to us. He says, they fight within us and they make us miserable, right? Making us frustrated and irritable. And that's because they whisper in our ear things like, you know, you deserve better. You're being mistreated. Stop playing nice and go get what you want. Let's face it, those inner voices, they can be rather seductive at times because they speak to us in moments of weakness, like, you know, when we're tired or all out of sorts, or we're alone and feeling sorry for ourselves. Before you know it, it becomes a constant battle for us to stay on the right path and not to give in to those passions or desires that cry out for a quick shortcut to happiness. It's because of that battle within we find that with the same mouth, like James wrote in the last chapter, we curse and we bless. We proclaim Christ to others and then tell lies. And with the same heart we love, but then we turn around and hate. And with the same hands we serve and then we steal. With the same eyes we can read the scriptures, then turn around and watch programs and movies and look at things on the internet that we know that we shouldn't. Now, the war within might be different from person to person. But, you know, we all feel the struggle in one way or another. And if the war within isn't overcome with satisfaction and peace that comes from Christ, then it becomes the war without. And that's the second battle that causes conflict, the war without. Again, back in James chapter 4, this time in verse 2, James writes, "You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight." Now, I can't help but read those words and think, wait a minute, whoa, someone kills because they want something? I think, that's not right. But then I check the news and tragically discover things like school shootings up in Michigan, or a Wisconsin man driving his SUV through a Christmas parade, or someone shooting or stabbing someone over the last item in a store at a mall, you know? So why do people kill each other? Well, like James says, sometimes people kill others because they want what the other person has. It could be their car, their money, their shoes, or whatever. On the other hand, sometimes a person kills another person not to get what they have, but to keep them from having what they have. Somehow they rationalize that if I can't have what you have, then I'm not going to let you keep what you have either. I'm not going to let you have what you have either. So I'm going to just kill you and end your life, and therefore you don't have it either. You know, but that's ridiculous, isn't it? But, you know, don't forget that war without, that's doing all that crazy stuff, is really coming from a war within. Thankfully, most of us are not guilty of murder in the literal sense. But there are other ways of killing someone, isn't there? Back over Matthew chapter 5 and verses 21 and 22, for example, Jesus broadened the scope of murder when he told us that to hate someone is to commit murder in your heart. And when we allow ourselves to hate someone in our hearts, then we might be tempted to also murder them with our words, by uttering insults or lies or rumors, maybe even going so far as to let that war within become a war without and actually do physical harm. No matter the war without, the point is, all of those outward conflicts begin with the war within. Now, besides killing, James also says that the war without shows itself with coveting. And that word coveting in the Greek means to boil with envy. And to be envious, well, that means to really, really want something that someone else has to the point that they end up feeling unsatisfied or resentful of that person. And so they say things like, well, you know, you only got what you've got because you're lucky, or for some other reason, right? And so they think it's just not fair that you've got all that stuff or whatever. And so quarrels and fights break out because they're envious. Now, it seems to me that James is talking about something that's going on right now all around us, isn't he? So what's the cause of all that fighting and arguments and the killings all around us? God says it's because people want something, but they don't have it. And so desire and envy and lust take control of the person, and that war within leads to a war without. And it doesn't stop there, though, because there's another war going on, and that's the third battle that causes conflict, and that's the war above. In other words, what we're talking about here is a spiritual battle that James describes for us this way in verses 2 through 4, saying, you do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Now, there's a noticeable progression in these verses, isn't there? First, there's self-reliance. You do not have because you do not ask. In other words, the person doesn't pray because they don't have time, or they just don't think that it makes a difference, or they feel like, hey, you know, I can take care of this all on my own, you know? But next, when they do finally get around to praying, their prayers are selfish prayers. In other words, that person treats God like some kind of celestial candy machine, just punch in your number and out comes whatever you want. They somehow think that God does what they tell him to do. And of course, because they think that way, they get really upset when God doesn't give them what they want. Third, there's spiritual adultery here. And that happens when somehow people believe that the world can meet their needs better than God. And so James calls those people adulterers. Of course, what he has in mind is not physical adultery, but spiritual adultery. In other words, they've turned from loving God to loving the world. Of course, we don't mean a ball of dirt, right? They're not out there, I love this dirt. But of course, the ways of the world, right? Back over in the book of Judges, for example, we see this happening over and over and over again. As a matter of fact, in Judges chapter 2 and verse 17, at the time it was happening, God uses even stronger language about Israel's unfaithfulness, telling us that God's people would not listen to their judges, the spokespeople for God at the time, right? But prostituted themselves to other gods and worshiped them. Now, both Samuel, who tradition says wrote Judges, and James, who wrote our letter that we're reading and studying over these past few weeks, uses illustrations of physical infidelity that probably just about anybody would understand, right? In order for us to get a handle on what it's like for God when we turn away from Him to the things of this world and all the selfishness and materialism that the worldly value above God. And so this world, you know, has no use for God and is opposed to God and is destined for destruction, just like the Apostle John talks about over in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. Now think about it. Most people don't wake up in the morning and say, I think I'll have an affair with someone today. That's because it usually doesn't happen that way, right? Sometimes, you know, it begins where, you know, there's maybe some kind of distance in a marital relationship, right? And then someone comes along who pays attention to the person who's unhappy in their marriage. And then they make some kind of an emotional connection, and that satisfies their needs. That satisfies their needs. And before you know it, they're finding ways to meet in secret with that person. And there you go. One thing leads to another, and suddenly their marriage and life is in ruins. Well, it happens pretty much the same way in the spiritual realm. Most Christians don't set out to be unfaithful to God. It's like, today I'm going to be unfaithful to God. You know, usually spiritual adultery happens because people get their feelings hurt, or someone in the church betrays someone, or someone mistreats them, or maybe the preacher didn't visit them enough, or something weird like that. And little by little, anger and disappointment with God and the church gets a foothold in their heart. And that's exactly where Satan wants us. And so the attacks begin. He entices us with the worldly things of the world. That's a bit redundant, isn't it? But anyway, he divides us with sinful pleasures in the world. And before you know it, our faith and our relationship with God and His church is in ruins. Like James says, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. And so he reminds us in verse 5, saying, or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely? In other words, our God is a jealous God. The God who put His Holy Spirit within us. God loves us and demands that we love Him and Him only. And so when we don't, then God reacts with holy jealousy. I had someone tell me once that God is sinning because He gets jealous. That's not true. God is without sin, okay? Here's what's going on. Think about it this way. It's right for my wife to want my total faithfulness to her, and it's right for me to want the same thing in return, right? For my wife to be totally faithful to me. Just imagine if a husband were to say to his wife, go ahead and have an affair, it won't bother me. I mean, she's gonna think that either he doesn't love her or that he's already having an affair of his own. The point is, in a godly marriage, there's a healthy form of jealousy that husbands and wives should have for each other. That said, there's also a sinful form of jealousy that can happen in a marriage too. I think you know the kind that I'm talking about. It's the kind where a husband or a wife is so suspicious of their spouse that they don't want them even talking to someone of the opposite sex. Or they do things like check the odometer of their car to see if there are extra unexplained miles on it. Or they check messages on their phone to see if there's someone on there and they don't know who sent them a text. That kind of jealousy isn't out of love, but it's an expression of paranoia or an attempt to control the other person. But true and healthy love is jealous if the love is right. If the love is right, then the jealousy is right. And so it's right for God to be jealous of our undivided allegiance to him because of the covenant between us. And so because God loves us, he wants our wholehearted devotion. And because God redeems us, he wants our grateful obedience. And because God brought us into his family, he wants our loyal love. But if we're drawn away from God and into a relationship with the world, then the result ends up being conflict. Conflict. And that's because God is not going to put up with our spiritual adultery without a godly fight. Okay, so what are the sources of conflict? Well, conflict comes from our desires that battle within us, right? And that battle within us becomes battles without us and above us, meaning that the conflict within is going to create conflict between us and others and between us and God. Next week, we're going to talk more about conflict from James chapter 4 and the cures that he offers for us in this passage. But for today, let's just notice verse 6. There in James chapter 4 and verse 6, James gives us a big hint as to the cures, reminding us that God gives us more grace. That is why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So what are some of those possible cures? Spoilers, humility and grace. We'll talk more about that next week. So, where do you find yourselves today? Do you find yourself consumed with conflict within, without, and above? Do you find yourself without peace in your life, without peace with others, and without peace with God? Well, we've got some good news for you. If we humble ourselves before God, God will meet us wherever we are right now, even with our selfishness and our covetousness and our spiritual adultery, and God will offer us grace. And so if you're seeking peace within and without and above, what you're seeking is the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And so if you're not a Christian yet, simply have faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon your trust in him, turn to him in repentance, confessing him as Lord and Savior, and then commit yourself to him by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And then rising up out of the water, continue to live your life for him until Jesus comes back again or you go to be with him. And if you're already a Christian, then it's my prayer that we'll all keep humble and rely upon the grace of God and avoid unnecessary conflict. So if anyone has the need to share or to seek prayer or to become a Christian for the very first time, I would like to encourage you to message us through Facebook or YouTube, or you can email me directly at minister@ovchurch.org. Let's pray. Most Holy Father, dear God, we do want to thank you so much for being our God. We do want to thank you for the grace that we have through your Son, Jesus. And Father, as we think about all the conflict that's around us, help us to understand that that conflict begins within us. And Father, we need to appreciate our relationship with you more and be at peace with you so that we can be at peace with those around us. We thank you for the peace that you give us through your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray.